It's been 50 years since Arthur Ashe won Wimbledon. And to celebrate, at the beginning of each of our daily Wimbledon pods, we're teaming up with the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA to share stories that bring that win to life. Enjoy the pod.
And so by this time, I know that Arthur is in the finals. And he's playing against Jimmy Connors, somebody who cleans his clock with regularity and somebody who is a big ball, meaning hitting really hard, flat, aggressive balls and love pace. And so it was going to be a difficult match for Arthur. But again, it's not on television. It's probably not on the radio. So I go out and I'm playing my match against a woman who was always, and I'm a teenager then. So I'm playing against a woman and she was always getting to the final or doing well in ATA tournaments. So she was sort of like the known. And I was Leslie, the young girl who I guess had potential, but hadn't maximized it yet. So I'm playing and perhaps it's the first set, you know, and it's court after court after court after court. So it's not like you're in an arena or stadium. It's just a row of courts, balls going and what everybody's playing their match. And they get on the bullhorn and they say, Arthur Ashe has won Wimbledon. He defeated Jimmy Connors, whatever the score was. And even the score was really amazing and impactful. So then I just felt, you know, you could hear the excitement, you know, maybe people applauded or cheered or, you know, stopped their match for just a moment to enjoy that across everybody everywhere. I mean, everybody heard it, right? So now everybody's energized. And so I can distinctly remember, I'm just playing a little ATA tournament, but I'm like, okay, Arthur did, which was unthinkable, beat Jimmy Connors at Wimbledon. So I am playing against this person who's known to be playing really well. And I remember saying, if Arthur could do it, I could do it. And it was just as simple as that. And so then I beat her, you know, just energized from that. Like, I'm going to be like Arthur. I'm talking about winning an ATA amateur tournament. I mean, it wasn't even the finals, it was like the semis, but I did win the semis. I didn't win the tournament, but it was the first time that I'd gotten that far in a big ATA tournament. And then I made my way to the finals. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And after the fact, you know, way after the fact, there was discussion about how he did it because it probably showed on tape delay. And so in those times, there was a certain way that you were supposed to play tennis. Because when they would teach a forehand or a backhand, a serve, everybody was taught the same way. It wasn't the creative way that people now hit shots with whatever grip that works for them. And everybody has their own individual style. The ATA tennis was about having classic strokes, let's say. But then there was also a faction that, you know, we're not taking tennis lessons. We're just out here trying to figure this out. So some hit balls with amazing spin and different kind of strokes that you would not expect to be effective, but they were. And so we sort of classified, you know, that style of play as kind of ATA tennis because there was such variety. It wasn't just the perfectly hit crisp ball that comes across the net, bounces perfectly so you can hit the next one back. It might take a funny bounce or it might be a drop shot or it might be a lob or something. So then when we watched the match, then people were like, oh, I see. He played ATA tennis. He hit a little dink shot. He hit a little lob over here. So it totally discombobulated Connors, who just started launching balls everywhere because he was so unexpected. So it also sort of harkened back to what one might find when you go and play an ATA tournament. And so it's just kind of like it was genius strategy, number one, but it also was a familiar style of play that anybody who'd been around ATA tennis recognized.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the Blessman Global Podcast. I am Lucy. And welcome to day 5 at Wimbledon. Wow. Day 5. We're getting to the end. Week 1 midway through. Very sad.
End of first week.
I hope you guys also did enjoy, again, the oral history from the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA. A massive shout out to Leslie Allen, who I met today, actually. I didn't tell you this. Yeah, she was when I was watching the 72nd Shelton match. she was there 71 second, and I quickly, like, just, you know, say hi, introduce myself. So yeah, legend is nice. Like, interview Zena Garrison. Now I've met Leslie Allen.
That is fantastic.
So yeah, shout out to the Black woman in tennis. So yeah, it was very interesting to hear her story today of the impact again of Arthur Ashe winning Wimbledon. So yeah, shout out to us for celebrating. Eugene, how are you doing?
I'm good, Lucy. I say good, I'm not good, to be honest.
You're not good? Yeah, your voice sounds really, I feel like I have to up your...
Yeah, we've had a lot of casualties today.
Yeah, we
it's
have.
It's been tough.
We
it's
have.
Some upsets that I did not see coming.
For sure.
I feel like that's pretty much the case for a lot of people, but mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I, you know, I feel like the reason why the losses today hurts is because I actually thought we'll win all of them. So same. I think that's why. If yeah. it was a thing where it was like a very tough opponent, a tough round, blah, 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 then it would have been like, okay, fine. But it's like, especially Keys's match, I thought, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that, yeah, exactly. But yeah, and... So, in a selfish aspect, we obviously have our watch party in 2 days. So we don't have a Black player that will be watching at our watch party. So that's another thing
maybe,
as well.
Maybe in doubles, possibly.
Definitely doubles, yeah. But at least we'll have some top players like Alcaraz.
True.
You know?
True.
I need Kali to check Duffs. Actually who I need to check who he's playing next so we can be sure. But yeah, I think that was the selfish aspect of me. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say he's playing Struff, but he just beat Struff. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we just double check that. But either way, and also, guys, remember, we're having our watch party at Box Park Croydon. So London people, please come and put up Sunday, 6th of July. Obviously, tomorrow we will know the full schedule. So you will know what time, you know, you want to come and watch the matches with us.
That I am looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to. You know, there'll be giveaways. Mm-hmm. There will be jugs of pimps available because duh. And don't worry about the rain. You know, most matches will be on the show courts, and the show courts have roofs, so there won't be interruptions of those. Exactly. So don't think you're going to miss out on tennis.
And fingers crossed, we're trying to, you know, make some things happen, possibly getting a special guest. I'm saying it, I'm putting it out there, Lucy.
Oh,
I'm putting
gosh.
It out there.
Okay, man.
I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out there. I like to speak things into existence, so that's what we're doing. But like I said, nothing's been confirmed yet, but we're trying to work something out. So, yeah. But anyway, we're still looking forward to Sunday. So cannot wait. And I hope, yeah, those of you that can make it do. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you. But I think we should get into the action first and foremost. Where are we starting? Should we start with the one and only win?
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. So Ben Shelton, like you said, was on court for 71 seconds and got the job done against Rinki Hijikata. Literally served it out to love. And I think he hit 3 aces in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Ended the match with an ace as well. And yeah, literally was on court for 71. Well, the official kind of match time for today was 71 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the scoreline was 6-2, 7-5, 6-4. And obviously that match had to be stopped last night at 5-4 with Ben about to serve for it due to bad light. So, but yeah, the American Tempsey got it done as we all kind of expected. And it was pretty, pretty easy. You were there for it. What did you make of it?
I mean, there was not really much to say, to be honest. Like, it just went how it went. I think Hijikata already knew how it was going to go. Because straight after that, he actually went to his doubles match as well. So, yeah. But from the match yesterday, anyways, actually, we discussed it yesterday, to be fair. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, the match yesterday, he was looking really strong, really good. Especially the first set, like, he was looking really, really, really good, very comfortable. It could have gone longer than it did because Hijikata started, you know, catching up and stuff.
This was yesterday's
match.
Yeah,
yeah. But luckily, we were able to wrap it up as soon as, but yeah, I'm very happy because again, last year he played a lot of matches. Mm. He looks comfortable. I think beginning of this year was a little bit, not, I won't say rocky, but it was a little bit like, you know, he was always close to doing something, but there's always something coming up.
Yeah.
And I think it had to, well, I was already saying that I noticed that he changed a lot of things in his game in terms of techniques. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked him about that at press today, where it was like, you know, him changing his technique with his backhand, you know, also noticing that he's playing with so much more power as well. And I basically asked him, like, how is that helping him with his game on grass? And I'm also adding another journalist's answer who also included, who went back to my question, but more focusing on his serve. And this is what he said.
I think my backhand has improved a lot, especially my ability to deal with pace to the backhand, hitting low balls off the backhand, being able to put topspin on the backhand sometimes. And, you know, hit passing shots, which I used to only be able to really hit the lob off the backhand. I couldn't pass well off that side. I think it's just part of my evolution. It's not where I want to be yet. You know, no shot in my game is really ultimate where I want it to be ultimately. And it's just a work in progress. So for me, I'm always out there. I'm competing. I'm, you know, trying my best to figure out the answers. And, yeah, I like every day to see my game evolving a little bit. I've always thought of my serve as a weapon since I turned pro, you know, even more so relying on it earlier in my career than now. I think it's an art being able to serve on grass, though, because when guys have a mindset that they're either just going to chip one side or both sides or block the return back in the court and you're hitting big serves, but if you're not hitting spots, that ball can be low and on you, which is, you know, a ball from the baseline normally. I used to not love when it was low and kind of sliding through. I would struggle with that ball. So I had to learn how to hit serves on the grass that were still effective but gave me something a little bit higher in the zone that I liked, something that I could feel confident serving a volley on sometimes and finding forehands on the first ball. So, yeah, serving on every surface is an art. Clay, it's an art. This is the first year I started feeling like I was being able to go through my service games on the clay and then the grass too, to be able to get to your plus ones and feel confident in the shots after the serve.
I think his new technique is definitely helping him with grass a lot more. I feel like with grass, once you have a lot of power going in, a strong serve, you know, last time I checked, he was third on like the fastest serve speed.
For this year.
I don't know if that's changed or not, but yeah, I know he was third like a couple of days ago. So he's playing really well. His draw is looking very, very, very good. He seems very confident, well rested. So I think all of those
key word right there, well rested.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that, yeah, compared to this, well, Wimbledon for him last year, at this stage, he played two matches. 10 sets.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas fast forward to this year, it's two matches, 6 sets, because he's won in straight sets back to back.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's going to do a lot of good for him in terms of physically,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, being just match ready for his third round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a much more like straightforward passage, basically. And like you said, again, the draw for him, it's good looking, Lucy. It's very, very good looking. So
yeah.
He'll play the lucky loser, Marton Fucsovics, next. So Fucsovics denied us of a Shelton Gael Monfils third round.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But again, Monfils, like Shelton, his match against Fucsovics was suspended last night due to bad light.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to come back and play the fifth set, which hadn't started. So it was basically just a one set shootout. Mm-hmm. Earlier today. And yeah, Fucsovics ended up winning that set 6-4. Literally broke Monfils at two games all.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, didn't let Monfils back in after that. It was tough, like, watching, because I was there for all of that. which I said I wanted to be. But I mean, Monfils looked good in terms of the first couple of the games. Obviously, he held. It was pretty comfortable. And then, like I said, 2-2, that's when Fucsovics broke. And then basically held on and closed out the match. But there was a bit of a scare. So Monfils was 15-40 down at 5-3. So literally could have lost the match there and then, but managed to hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then that basically left Fucsovics the job to serve it out, and he did, to 30. So, yeah, that's the end of Lomonth at Wimbledon this year.
Yeah, he said that with today, going back to the match, like, he just felt like there was more wind. He was uncomfortable a lot of times compared to yesterday, and he couldn't afford, like, to attempt new things. But overall, he just feels like he's happy with, like, his physical aspect, you know, having to play, like, two long matches as well. His first match was a five-setter. A lot of his matches, this Grand Slam, I think he's only, since Australian Open, he's only played one straight sets match at a Grand Slam, which was his first round at Australian Open. Everything else were four setters or five setters. So in the physical aspect, he feels that he's great, which is pretty impressive. I know we always bring up his age, but it's still pretty impressive, the fact that he's 38 and he's able to play for that long. But he just doesn't think he played his best tennis. So I think in a tennis aspect, like the tactical type of things, he feels that he can do better. But physically, he feels that that's what's helped him to get to those matches.
Yeah.
But overall, he said that he's satisfied with the fact that he was able to play two matches in the tour. He could have got knocked out the first round, especially that with the so many high amounts of, you know, top seeded big upsets this Wimbledon. So the fact that he played for that long was still pretty good. He also spoke about during this press, what the other additional things as well. Sorry, guys, I don't know if you guys can pick that up, but right now we are recording in the middle of the Sabalenka and Raducanu match. You know how it is, we're home. So yeah, the Brits are going ham right now. What's the score quickly?
5-4
to who? Sabalenka. Oh yes, okay, cool. Yeah, it's looking crazy. So shout out to the girls. But yeah, he also mentioned this about like what he thinks happened during the match that made him, you know, lose it as well.
No, I think today he adapted himself much better. You know, my return was very poor. I couldn't really return good. I strike the ball poorly today in a way, different condition. With the windy side, with the sun, so I couldn't adapt myself as quick that he did. And of course, one set on grass is very quick. So credit to him, but it's better than me. He's a very good player. He's very strong on the best line. Got few good weapons, serve, forehand, and he likes to. He likes when he's behind the court. He likes to really unleash his weapons, and he work a lot of time. And today again, he beat me. So you know, he's a great player.
A massive shout out to Monfils for still coming through, playing. He's still around, obviously. I believe Svitolina is still playing. Or did she lose to Mertens?
She lost
to Mertens, yeah. So I guess they'll be heading out soon. But yeah, big up Monfils, legend. Still great seeing him like play around, and great spirits at the press as well. He's just enjoying it. So
love that.
Yeah, looking forward to his hard court swing.
Next defeat. Naomi Osaka, which was our first match of the day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this was a surprise.
For sure.
Or shock, either way. Made a great start against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, taking the first set 6-3, but did end up losing in three sets. So she lost sets 2 and 3, 6-4, 6-4. I left this match to go and watch Lomonth. But it was, I saw, obviously you can talk more about it, Lucy, but she was trailing, well, she was 3-love down in the third. But then
No, actually, look, before that, well, first of all, actually, the first set, she was doing really good. Like, she was up 4-1, strong serve. The errors were low. Like, she was very in much in control. Even though it's weird, like, her first serve points were actually lower compared to the first match. But she was still able to, like, you know, smash and do what she had to do. But when it came to the second set, that is when her serves became even worse. Her second serve, her first serve. And in the meanwhile, Anastasia was, you know, finding her groove. She was serving better than Osaka in general anyways. But on top of Osaka, like, missing out her serves, she was also hitting long shots. So, yeah, but credit to Anastasia. She was able to return some of the powerful shots from Osaka. Osaka was hitting, I feel like this tournament, she was hitting a lot of great winners. I think, if I'm correct, like, all of her matches, she was hitting more winners than her opponents. So it just shows to you how, like, comfortable she was. But, yeah, in the second set, she was down 0-3, but she managed to get to 5-4. But Anastasia's, like, she just leveled her game overall on the set. She was just serving better. And the biggest thing, actually, was that Osaka had some break points that could have helped her win that match in straight sets. Like, that match, not only she didn't need to lose it, she also didn't need to get it to three sets. But she was unable to convert at critical times. And that ended up going to the third set. And this third set basically just went like the second set. She was literally down 0-3 again, went back to 3-3. It was literally the same thing. Yeah. It was crazy. She was returning better to Anastasia. She was serving better and adding more varieties as well. Like, when she was adding slices, Anastasia didn't know how to return back. And it made me realize that it would be great for Osaka to do more of those stuff rather than just hitting big.
Like, mix it up a bit.
Because that's when Anastasia was unable to return. But again, the errors started coming in. She wasn't unable to convert well. Literally, Anastasia broke and won the match.
The tough thing for me as well is getting broken.
Yeah.
Like, to lose the match.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's just nicer when your opponent serves out the match, mm-hmm. rather than you being broken and, you know, it feels like you're handing them the match, mm-hmm. essentially. But I think, again, with Osaka, and, it's tough to say, because obviously she was disappointed coming into press, and it's understandable kind of like immediately after a loss, but kind of judging her Wimbledon overall, to make the third round on a surface you're not particularly, like, comfortable on.
Yeah.
Pretty good going. And she played well in her first two rounds.
And that's,
like,
why it was kind of unfortunate.
And sorry to cut you. Even today she played well.
She did. It was well. The only thing is it was the break points, like her not being able to convert those. But that's why, you know, I wish she wasn't too down on herself, because she played well. But I can understand, because I feel like this loss, for me personally, I feel like that was way worse than her losing the Badosa match, because that one was literally, like, right there.
A top 10 seed
and everything and stuff. So I understand her saying, I don't have anything positive to say right now. Like, I'm sad, like, I'm upset, which is a normal human thing. She did post on her thread that she was annoyed that the tournament has only shared her conferences when she loses.
No way.
Yeah, she posted it on threads today. And she's right. I really wish Wimbledon actually posts the conferences just like US Open.
Didn't clock that.
They don't, like, when you go on YouTube, you don't see anything. And, like, it's, if people knew the amount of conferences that they're actually missing this tournament, is in general, not just this year, just in general at Wimbledon, they'll be really surprised. And that's why I'm glad that we at least have the opportunity to share what we can share. And even that, we're limited with what we can share. We're restricted. Yeah, like, there's so much more. Like, if we could share the entire voice message of, like, some of the ones that we record on our phone, we would, but obviously we can't. But she's right, because it does give an image of, like, she's always sad and everything. When she's had, like, three presses, that was her fourth one, because she had a pre-media, round one, round two, three, which we missed because it was not, the schedule was not even clear properly. And she's right, because those other ones, you know, there's fun stuff. Like, for example, her first press, I asked her about her documentary. I asked her about, you know, what happened to the flower theme. So many different stuff, like even about how she feels about grass as well. Even that, they didn't post it. And I thought they would post that one. Even that, they didn't post it. Man, I feel like I'm missing a party. I feel like we should wrap this up and go watch Raducanu. Is it coming home, bro? Oh, gosh. But yeah, but in terms of like her level, this match, and she did, obviously she answered this question from press, from a Japanese reporter. So I don't know exactly what the reporter asked, but from the answer, it seems like it was a little bit about, you know, what could she have changed from this match, or if she has any regrets or anything. And this is what she said.
I mean, I think for me, I don't really have many regrets, but if I can think of things that I wanted to do better, maybe be more aggressive on her serve. I know she was very aggressive on mine, on the second serves. And I hit a couple of double faults on important moments. So clearly it was working for her. But overall, I don't know. It's very hard to say when you know you've tried your best. So I think, yeah, just a return.
Yeah, at least I like asking the technical questions, the questions about, like, you know, some of like the matches and everything, especially when it's stuff, when you're losing like that.
My coach.
Yeah, because it's, at the end of the day, want to know about the tennis, you know? It's fun getting the fun answers and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, but a massive shout out to Osaka Disc Grass Tournament.
I'm still going to go with the name Grasaka. I like it.
Honestly, I like it. I'm just glad. I said that her game suits her really well on grass, and she improved it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to a hard court swing. I hope that, you know, when she wakes up tomorrow, she can just, you know, be like, all right, cool, just go again.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Mm. And I also hope she really takes care of herself, like mentally. Like, I see a lot of people talking about she needs to get rid of Patrick. I don't think she needs to get rid of Patrick, guys. I really don't think Patrick is the issue. I think her and Patrick actually work really well together, in my opinion, to be honest. I think it's been, the partnership is working out well. I think the issues that she's having is not, I feel like if she has to get rid of Patrick, is a thing where Patrick is contributing to her stuff mentally in a bad way. If that's the aspect, if that's the case, get rid of him.
Yeah.
If that's not the case, keep him. I think he's actually pretty good, and even in the mental aspect, because when Patrick was working with Serena, when she had a child, he was one of the first to tell Serena, you're not going to be able to play the way you're playing, because now tennis is no longer your priority, your child is your priority. So he understands the change from going from winning to now having a child and caring about that. Obviously, the difference between Osaka and Serena is that Serena was at the end of her career, and she had a very big, you know, stat to beat that everyone was putting on her. Yeah. Osaka already has a freedom. Like, she can still keep on playing, you know, like her time is not ticking like that.
One thing I don't like though as well, this is something that the media are kind of guilty of, because someone had asked a question about, oh, like, basically, if you were like to stop, like today, would you be happy, like, with, you know, what you've achieved, like, you know, in the life you have? And I thought to myself, like, that's such a loaded question, like, to ask. Like,
and the thing is, the reason why that's even annoying is because her last two presses, she answered two questions that made it clear that this woman is not retiring anytime soon. She literally said she's looking forward to her daughter watching her, exactly, like, when she's growing up, watching her play.
Let's drop that.
Like, yeah, there's this pressure about, like, her retiring. Like, she's not 36.
But then I will also say this, Lucy. I don't like it. Or I don't like the fact that players are, like, kind of, I guess, encouraged to come and speak to the media, like, straight after a defeat as well. Like, I think it should be an option for them to say, you know what, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Like, and that we should just appreciate that and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
This, we don't always need, like, to hear. It's because it's tough. Like, mm-hmm. and we'll never understand how that feels because we're not tennis players. Like, but being in the room, like I felt for her, basically,
and
that's like, yeah, it's difficult, and you can argue and say, oh, well, like she's paid obviously well to kind of like compete and all that, but not even think about money, man. Like, do you get me? Like, let's be more considerate about people's feelings and like, yeah, like well-being, because it's tough. It's very, very tough. But yeah, like you just said, like she's had a good season on grass, third round for the second time in her career. Yes, she had opportunities. Yes, the draw was like, I guess, decent. But this is sport, man. Like, things happen. And yeah, she ended up losing today, but she did put up a good fight.
She did. And I don't think a lot of people had her. I don't think people even were thinking about Osaka when it came to like her Wimbledon run. So the fact that she's actually made it that far, while everyone was focusing on her on clay, is still pretty good. So yeah, big up Osaka, big up to her team. And of course, we'll go into the season that she's most comfortable at. And I'm really looking forward to it. She is playing at in Washington. Nice. I really wish I was going to that tournament, man. It's looking so stacked. I
swear you said that about 15 times.
I know. Like, I need to find a way to be there. You know, unfortunately, I have work. I wish I was able to work from home. Like, there, it would have been so great. Honestly speaking, that is looking really good. It's nice when you have stacked players in a smaller tournament, fan aspect, media aspect, even the players, they like it as well.
It is a 500, so it's pretty decent.
That's what I'm saying. It's a bit like how Berlin, there was literally all the top eight WTA players at it. So yeah, so DC people, you guys are lucky as hell. I will be hating for sure as I'm in London, watching on my TV late at night. But yeah. So what are we watching tomorrow, Eugene?
No, you've got one more match tomorrow.
What match it took?
Madison Keys.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
And this, for me, this was the biggest upset.
For sure. 100%. 100%.
Sixth seed. So she kind of, it's in keeping with, like we said earlier, all the top seeds falling out like first week. So as things stand, and we're recording this as Irina Sabalenka is playing, Sabalenka is the only top 10 seed left in the top half of the draw. Now Keys is out. So that kind of just that paints the picture, basically.
Like, yeah.
It's been tough for the seeds. But no, shouts out to Laura Sigmund, man. Won that 6-3, 6-3. Missed most of the first set because I was watching Le Monf. But yeah, got there for the second. Keys breaks first game in that second set, and I thought, okay, good, we're back in business. But no, Sigmund broke back immediately and then basically never looked back after that. So yeah, the German, like, she's kind of known, and Keys did say this in her post-match press conference after winning her second round match, that yeah, she's basically expecting a lot of, like, you know, I guess, for want of a better word, like mix-up tennis. Like, Sigmund basically mixes things up. She plays a lot of doubles too, Sigmund, so she's good at the net. Loves to, like, vary, like, plays with a lot of variation, drop shots. There was some really nice shot-making, though, to be fair. Like, I will say that, like, it was enjoyable to watch just because, like, the rallies were, like, kind of back and forth and, yeah, there was just, like, a lot of variety, like, in the points. But you can see Keys was, like, getting quite frustrated just because things weren't going her way.
I feel like in grass, though, is either your serve or give varieties that is really going to help you, like, win those matches. Yeah. Because the more you watch matches and you see when people are making errors is when people are making, like, different type of, like, slices and stuff, or, like, hitting serving real big. Keys is a bigger hitter, but maybe during, obviously I didn't watch the match, but maybe during that match, her opponent was just better at giving different type of stuff that made Keys uncomfortable.
It was literally Sigmund's variety that completely threw Keys off, because yeah, she wasn't able to kind of find any rhythm. And like, Keys is very much, obviously she's a big hitter, but like, she is very kind of rhythm dependent as well. Like, she needs to be in a good rhythm to kind of, I guess, take over a match, and she just wasn't able to do that. So that's why Sigmund deserves a lot of credit, because yeah, she was mixing things up and making it difficult for Keys. But for me, the biggest kind of, like, I say shock, the fact that it was a straight sets defeat.
Yeah, like, at least if it was a free set, oh, then
the
yeah.
This is the
yeah,
thing. So it was like, wow, the sixth seed is done in straights. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think Sigerman, this is only, I think this is the first time she's reached the third round at Wimbledon, which is crazy considering she's 37 or 38. Basically, she's the oldest woman in the draw as well.
Oh, wow.
So okay. Good going for her. Mm-hmm. But again, like, it's such a, I say massive opportunity miss. Mm. Like, it's not, that's not fair, but it is. Like, in terms of, Keys would have been expecting to beat Sigmund. I think we all were. But yeah, she's been clipped in straights. So
who was my pick? So
tough.
Sorry. That's me.
I'm
done.
Very sorry.
Yeah.
Very, very sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that wraps up the action in terms of singles. So you just had the one victory today to report.
Towards the end, it's crazy. The difference between this year and last year is crazy. Oh, like, man. This time last year, we were still so stacked up, so many players. But I feel like the reason why I'm not too sad though is because I actually already had a feeling that this Wimbledon was going to be a mess, because last month I was looking at everyone, yeah, and I was like, bro, no one is serving properly at this moment. And grass, if you don't know how to serve, it's going to be a mess. So that was my first sign. Then the second sign, then I had a little bit of hope when all the top seeds were like losing in the pre-tournaments, because I was like, okay, you guys are just tired. Wimbledon, you're going to bring it. So I was like, okay, maybe a little bit of hope.
Hasn't kind of panned out that way.
No, it hasn't. Hasn't at all, bro. Hasn't at all. But this is my thing. I think I've said it a lot of times now. The kids just need a little bit more time with grass. This is why Chilik was like, I'm going to remind you guys who the hell I is. And he did. This is why, you know, you have Djokovic still here and people are saying that they think actually he's the one's going to win now. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man. Like, I'm gutted. But at least it's not a thing where it's like, okay, it's only us. Everyone's falling. You know, it's not just, you know, the black players. I mean, when you have top seeds falling left, right, center, it's like, all right, cool, it is what it is. But yeah. Oh, speaking of Alcaraz, here he is. Just right here, baby goat.
In terms of day six, we do have a nice lineup.
Nice lineup. Win or lose, I'm so looking forward to this match.
No, it's good. So first up on number one, her first time playing on number one, Hayley Baptiste.
Yep.
Versus the seventh seed Mira Andreeva, the teenage sensation. All the pressure's on the teenager, which is crazy, but not so crazy if you follow tennis.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely no pressure on Baptiste whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to this one a lot, Lucy.
I
can't wait for it.
Same.
And I called an upset the night before last, and I'm calling an upset again. Like, I'm standing by my pick.
It's funny that you're saying that, because when I said it the first time, you were like, because you were like, oh,
Baptiste,
but it's Andreeva.
Yeah,
the second I said, oh, Andreeva is next, I was like, yeah, she can do this. You were like,
why are you putting
but,
me up?
But after...
I don't remember that.
No, I think after when... I feel like I convinced you.
I don't remember that.
After I said to you, yeah, but she's still finding her feet on grass. And, you know, she's still pretty young as well. And it's both their main... Like, they both making their, you know, trying their best on, like, making it far at Wimbledon as well. But yeah, I think that's going to be really good. Great for women's tennis. Great for tennis in general.
Give me a score line. Pressure.
I think I can't give a sort of, but I think it's going to be a three setter.
Okay, I see that.
Going to Baptiste, because I feel like there's only one thing she needs to work on, which is her serve. That's literally it. When she gets that sorted, she's good, because she's a powerful hitter. She's great. So
it's a big ball, man.
Yeah. So looking forward to that match.
And then again on number one, this will be the third match or last match on number one. Ben Shelton, Ben 10, taking on Martin Trusevich.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, this won't be Shelton's first time at number one. He played number one I'm gonna say a couple times last year. But again, I'm expecting Shelton to come through that, and judging by how he's played so far this tournament, like Fucsovics too is a lucky loser, so massive shout out to him for taking advantage of his lucky loser spot, because yeah, to go on to reach the third round as a lucky loser, that's pretty good going.
Yeah.
But I think the journey does end for him in the third round, because I think Shelton's just basically got too much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we will look forward to those matches.
A massive shout out to Taylor Townsend and Ivan King, who are starting their mixed doubles tomorrow. So that's going to be great as well.
Townsend also got a good win today.
She did.
With Katerina.
Yeah, Katerina. I think they even bageled them like on the last set or something like that. So yeah, shout out to Taylor.
Yes, so, you're right. Yeah, 6-3, 6-love.
Yes. So yeah, looking forward to the matches tomorrow. So yeah, guys, make sure you stay tuned on socials, our pods, and enjoy the matches. And good luck to Emma Raducanu and Sabalenka, who are still playing right now on a tiebreak.
Come on, Emma.
So yeah, see you guys. Thank you.